Duncan snapped his fingers, not to signal a waiter or because he was listening to catchy music, but because he had an idea. "In our shoes," he said. "That's it."
"What's it?" Klaus said.
"How will our noisy shoes help?"
"No, no," Duncan said. "Not the noisy shoes. I'm thinking about Coach Genghis's expensive running shoes that he said he couldn't take off because his feet were smelly."
"And I bet they are smelly," Isadora said. "I've noticed he doesn't bathe much."
"But that's not why he wears them," Violet said. "He wears them for a disguise."
"Exactly," Duncan said. "When you said, in our shoes, it gave me an idea. I know you just meant, in our shoes, as an expression meaning, in our situation. But what if someone else were actually in your shoes? What if we disguised ourselves as you? Then we could run laps and you could study for the comprehensive exams."
"Disguise yourselves as us," Klaus said. "You two look exactly like each other, but you don't look anything like us."
"So what?" Duncan said. "It'll be dark tonight. When we've watched you from the archway, all we could see were two shadowy figures running, and one crawling."
"That's true," Isadora said. "If I took the ribbon from your hair, Violet, and Duncan took Klaus's glasses, we'd look enough like you that I bet Coach Genghis couldn't tell.
And we could switch shoes, so your running on the grass would sound exactly the same," Duncan said.
"But what about Sunny?" Violet asked.
"There's no way two people could disguise themselves as three people."
The Quagmire triplets' faces fell.
"If only Quigley were here," Duncan said. "I just know he'd be willing to dress up as a baby if it meant helping you."
"What about a bag of flour?" Isadora asked.
"Sonny's only about as big as a bag of flour. Nothing personal, Sonny."
"Donata," Sonny said, shrugging.
"We could snitch a bag from the cafeteria," Isadora said, "and drag it alongside us as we ran. From a distance, it would probably look enough like Sonny to avoid suspicion."
"Being in each other's shoes seems like an extremely risky plan," Violet said.
"If it fails, not only are we in trouble, but you are as well, and who knows what Coach Genghis will do to you."
This, as it turns out, was a question that would haunt the Baudelaires for quite some time, but the Quagmires gave it barely a thought.
"Don't worry about that," Duncan said. "The important thing is to keep you out of his clutches. It may be a risky plan, but being in each other's shoes is the only thing we've been able to think of."
"And we don't have any time to waste thinking of anything else," Isadora added. "We'd better hurry if we want to snitch the bag of flour and not be late for class.
And we'll need a string or something so we can drag it along and make it look like Sunny crawling," Duncan said.
"And I'll need to snitch some things too," Violet said, "for my staple-making invention."
"Nidop," Sunny said, which meant something along the lines of, "Then let's get moving."
The five children walked out of the orphan's shack, taking off their noisy shoes and putting on their regular shoes so they wouldn't make a lot of noise as they walked nervously across the lawn to the cafeteria. They were nervous because they were not supposed to be sneaking into the cafeteria or snitching things, and they were nervous because their plan was indeed a risky one. It is not a pleasant feeling, nervousness, and I would not wish for small children to be any more nervous than the Baudelaires and the Quagmires were as they walked toward the cafeteria in their regular shoes. But I must say that the children weren't nervous enough. They didn't need to be more nervous about sneaking into the cafeteria, even though it was against the rules, or snitching things, even though they didn't get caught. But they should have been more nervous about their plan, and about what would happen that evening when the sun set on the brown lawn and the luminous circle began to glow. They should have been nervous, now, in their regular shoes, about what would happen when they were in each other's.